My name is Tommy MacArthur. I'm 13 years old, and today is December 5th, and I'm speaking with my dad. We are recording in Wellesley, Massachusetts. If you could hold on to one memory from your life forever, which would it be?
I think four memories in my life that I will hold on forever are the birth of each one of my children. Actually being in the room and seeing something that you have co-created be born and come into the world and hold them in your arms as they take their first breaths outside of the womb is an absolutely amazing experience for the father. I'll never ever forget actually being there, and I'll never forget it in the context of every single time I look at one of you as my children, I can think back to that day and remember when I met you for the very first time.
So, like, do you remember, like, many, like, details about that day or about those 4 days?
I remember all the details. I remember the clocks on the wall. I remember the time each one of you were born. I remember exactly what you looked like when I saw you for the first time. Some of you screamed. Some of you didn't scream. Some of you, all of you had your eyes closed. All of you looked extremely differently. And I remember not being able to wait to be able to hold you once the nurse weighed you and did the basic health checks.
Of all the family members, who had the most interesting life?
You know, we've had a pretty colorful family over the years, so we've had a lot of folks that led interesting lives. My great-grandfather owned a construction company in Brighton around the turn of the 20th century, and he built Fenway Park. His son got caught up in the roaring 20s, became a little bit of a habitual gambler, and wound up blowing all of his father's money in the Great Depression. But the person that I think of the most that had a very interesting life was my dad, who was born into poverty. He had a disease called rickets as a child, which is generally caused from malnutrition. He grew up in poverty in a household. He joined the military, the Marine Corps at 17, went to fight in Korea as a Marine, came back and went to college at Boston University on the GI Bill, got a job in Pittsfield, Massachusetts at GE, decided that wasn't for him, and then he went and joined a bank. And he actually made himself into not just a commercial banker, but one of the first international bankers in the United States. In the 1960s, people didn't really do much in terms of banking outside the U.S. And my dad's territories were about 20 countries in the Middle East and Africa and about 25 countries in Asia. And so I didn't know anybody or even have any friends who knew anybody who traveled to any of these places. And yet my dad went there every single year and would bring back toys and stories and coins for me to collect. And I just thought it was amazing, almost like a fairy tale, that he could live that kind of a life. And so from very sort of adverse beginnings, he made himself into somebody that I think led an extraordinary life and a very interesting life, went from literally the battlefield to the boardroom.
How does, like, rickets affect a child? Like, what is that?
Well, it's a disease that starts with malnourishment, and not enough things like vitamin D from the sun. His teeth were weak, and so he had to have all of his teeth pulled when he was 3 years old. And, you know, it's a pretty tough start for a kid. But he had a loving uncle who really became a grandfather figure to me and a father figure for him, who raised him and got him healthy to be a healthy little boy.
If you could choose any career, what would it be and why?
Well, I really enjoy my career as a management consultant and as an investor. I think if I had to zero base it and start all over again, my number one career would be owning an NFL football team.
Why would that interest you?
Well, I played a little football growing up. Recently, I coached one of my boys, not you, but your brother, in football, and I've always had a deep love for the sport, just the complexity of the sport, which I think is the most complex of all of the sports, how hard it is to build a team, how hard it is to find the right people to be general managers, to pick the talent, how hard it is to build a coaching staff to really coach the talent, and then a sport where coaching matters more than any other sport. And really, I think it's the biggest challenge to build a high-performing organization on one of the biggest stages in the world where everybody gets to see once a week how well you're doing. And I think it's just a tremendously exciting sport, and it would be phenomenal to have the privilege and opportunity to own a franchise and try to operate it and do really well.
Is there a certain team or teams you would choose to own?
Well, I mean, I'm a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan, so my loyalties naturally go there, and that would be my choice. The weather also is better down in Tampa than it is up here in New England, but if I couldn't own the Buccaneers, then the New England Patriots would be a close second.
What were some jobs held by past generations?
We've had a lot of jobs in my family. In my dad's family, they emigrated from Prince Edward Island in the late 1800s and got into the construction business around Boston almost immediately. My great-grandfather built Fenway Park. His son went into the business. My dad was not in the business. He was the first one to break from the business, first one in my family on his side to go to college on the GI Bill, and he became a commercial banker. But I remember him telling me as he grew up, he took all kinds of odd jobs to pay for things. The most interesting one that I remember was he actually had a job in a Boston shipyard one summer, sandblasting the inside of water tanks for large ships, which really involves covering your whole body and face and being lowered down in the dark into a giant water tank in a ship, and then blasting all of the rust and material and corrosion off the insides of those water tanks. And I can't imagine spending an entire summer doing that, but my dad did it. On my mother's side of the family, they emigrated from Newfoundland in the 1920s, and her family were all fishermen, because back in those days in Newfoundland, 1,000 miles out into the Atlantic Ocean was close to the Georgia Banks, which are the famed fisheries that provided most of the cod fish, which was the main staple fish in the northeastern United States for many, many years. And so her family were all fishermen until the 1980s, when regulations changed that severely limited the catch. Her dad was also a plumber, and he had a job that doesn't even exist anymore, which is an ice man. Her uncle and my grandfather operated an ice business in Scituate, Massachusetts, where in the 1920s, before there were electric refrigerators that made ice in people's houses, you had to actually buy ice by the block that the ice man would then deliver to your house in giant blocks and you put into the ice box, which is literally why that name exists. And my grandfather was the one that toted ice and delivered it to people's homes all around Scituate and the South Shore of Massachusetts.
Did Iceman go out of business because of modern technology?
They did. You know, as soon as we invented refrigerators where you could keep a portion of the refrigerator very cold, they invented an ice tray where you could pour water into the tray with little separators and you could make your own ice cubes. But prior to that time, there was an area that they tried to insulate a little bit in an ice box that was not electric and couldn't get very cold, and you would chip ice off the big block when you needed it, and you had to get ice delivered frequently, because if you didn't use it all, it would obviously melt, and so you would only get as much ice in one go that you could use over a couple of days, and then the ice man would have to come back again and bring you a new block.
What lessons has working taught you?
You know, working's taught me a lot of things. I think working, you have to work hard in order to get what you want. You can't be lazy. It seems like that's an easy thing to say, but you really, I didn't know the meaning of working hard until I got a job, and some of my jobs required me to work 7 days a week, sometimes late into the night, in order to be successful. And sometimes it really does take self-sacrifice to do a job well and make sure that you are succeeding. I've also learned that, at least in the jobs that I've had, that a lot of the technical knowledge that I learned in college and in business school, while it seemed like the most important things to learn to do a job well, it's really about knowing people and knowing how people behave and what their incentives are and how to really work with people and make sure that people feel like they're cared about and that you're doing things right by them and you're building teams and you're interacting, just simply the way that you interact with everybody that you come across, whether they're a customer, a client, a supplier, a colleague, a subordinate at work, or a superior at work, that those interrelationships and how you make that all go in your life is vitally more important to building a successful career in business than what you know about cash flows or accounting or marketing. You need to know that stuff, but it's necessary but not sufficient to being a successful business person.
What has been your favorite job?
My favorite job? Well, I'm kind of unusual in that I have been working for the same company in roughly the same job for 27 years. And so being a management consultant at Bain has been my favorite job almost by definition since I've done it since the middle of graduate school. But being in an industry like management consulting, it's very project-based. You know, once you solve a problem in a certain industry for a certain type of company, you move on to another problem in another company in another industry. And I've always been relatively eclectic that way, and I'd like to collect different experiences about solving different business problems with different management teams and different types of companies in different industries and different geographies. And I think that is endlessly fascinating. And I really like the project nature of the work because it begins at a certain point in time, it ends at a certain point in time, and you're able to see at the end of that time whether or not you've generated the results that you've been trying to generate for the client. And so you either win or you lose with the client. And then you take that knowledge and you hopefully bring it to your next assignment and try to do even better for that one.
Have any jobs you've held in the past come close to this job at all?
No, I think it's unfair to compare. The other jobs that I've held really that have been material were before going to business school. I spent 2 years doing merger and acquisition research in New York and London. And I spent 2 years in IT consulting before that. But those jobs are only a couple of years each. And I was a very junior person the whole time I was at both of those jobs. They don't really compare to what I do now.
Share some important lessons you have learned.
I've learned a lot of lessons in my life, you know, some of them profound and some of them relatively mundane. I actually wrote them up for my boys called Daddy's Lessons for Living a Good Life and a Happy Life. And, you know, I'll give you a couple from it. And the first one starts with be a good person. And be a good person sounds like a really simple lesson. But when you peel back the layers of different situations and what being a good person really is, it can become relatively complicated what being a good person is. But I think being ethical and being moral in everything you do and trying to follow the golden rule as much as possible is something that I've learned, you know, sometimes the hard way. When you violate it, you can violate people's trust. You can have people question your character. You can just go down a very slippery slope and wind up in a bad place. And I think the most important thing that you have in life is your character and your reputation and how you're thought of by your family and your friends in the wider community. And so to me, rule number one of be a good person is a lesson that you continuously learn in life, but it really does start in school. And it gets ever more, I would say, rich in the different situations that you face as you get older. A second lesson that I'll share just briefly from the list, and it's a short list, there's only five on it, is to find something that you love to do and do it really well. And I think that certainly when it comes to studying something in school, finding your passion and studying it will help you do better in it because it doesn't feel like work and it doesn't feel like studying. When I went to college, I really loved history and I studied a lot of history in high school, but it deepened my college experience tremendously and it helped me do better in college to really get good at, if you will, understanding history in the U.S. and in other countries for certain periods of time. And in choosing a career and what you're going to do for a living, I think the same rule applies. Finding something that you really love so it doesn't feel like work and then getting really good at it is going to be both a driver of making you more successful at what you do and being successful in your work and also helping you love it so it doesn't feel like work. It feels like something you want to do anyway.
What have you accomplished that makes you proud?
I think I've accomplished a number of things in my life, none without a lot of help from family and friends and others. I moved around a lot as a kid. I moved around just about every single year, so I didn't have a lot of confidence because I was the new kid in school every single year, right up through high school. I was fortunate enough to get accepted by a very good college, and I was really and kind of have been through my life driven by fear of failure more than the thrill of success, and so I was worried that I wouldn't do well at college, and I wound up doing well and getting good grades and getting a good diploma. And I got a job and did some work. And then I tried to get into a graduate school for business, a good one. And I wound up getting in, which again, I didn't expect. And I did well there and also got my diploma. And I really wanted to work for a good consulting company. And I was fortunate enough to actually get a job there. And again, I was worried about failing and not doing well. And not only did I lasted 27 years and became a senior partner at the firm and now run a sizable part of our business. And I think all of those are, you know, things that I view as accomplishments, but probably the biggest accomplishment that would put all of those things to shame would be having and raising the great family that I have, you know, meeting my wife, who's just a terrific person and a life partner, and having all four of you kids and watching you grow up and seeing you all do well in school and all do well in sports and your extracurricular activities and just kind of building the life that we have now, the family traditions that we have together, the meals, the jokes, the laughing around, the serious times that we have together, all that is about having a family and hopefully raising it successfully, and the pride that I take in the group that we are and the family that we have become way blows away anything that I've done as an individual in my life.
When you got accepted into Dartmouth and graduate school, of course you're feeling like excited, but did you feel anything else, like, because you got accepted into a great school, but like your dad didn't get the opportunity to do that. How did you feel about that?
Well, I honestly felt pride and gratitude that my dad wanted me to have opportunities that that he didn't have, and that he supported me getting into good schools because he wanted me to be able to have benefits that he couldn't get at his age. You know, he was the first person in his family to be able to go to college, and he went on the GI Bill, and so he really wanted to make sure that that I was able to do better if I was able to actually go and make it into these colleges, and really put pressure on me, honestly, because I didn't want to screw it up. I didn't want to go to the college and worry, and I was worried in both places, always worried that I was not going to be a good enough student, I was not going to be as good as the average student wherever I was, and that I wanted to work hard to make sure that I repaid my dad for that opportunity that he provided to me.
Tell me about the person who has had the biggest impact on your life.
You know, in terms of impact on my life, a lot of names go through my head when you ask that question. You know, certainly my dad has had a huge impact on my life, certainly professionally, who I've become, the kind of job I have, how I've approached it. A lot of that goes to him. The person who is essentially his father, my great uncle Earl, comes to mind, who's had a massive impact on my childhood and just helped teach me what unconditional love from a relative could really be, and how wonderful childhood could be, and the interest that he took in me when I was young and moving around every year and being the new kid in school and being a kind of solid presence every summer that I would go and visit in Maine, and we would go fishing and we would do things together in his vegetable garden, raising his vegetables and just putter around together, play cards, do different kinds of things, had a massive impact on my self-esteem as a child. But I think the one name overall would be my mom, because my mom is someone who has also unconditionally loved me. She's had some tough times in her life. You know, she's dealt with some physical illnesses that through her 40s and 50s that I saw growing up as a child. She's dealt with depression, and she's dealt with other psychological challenges in her life. You know, she dealt with divorce from my dad when my sister and I were in college. She's worked for most of her life. And so my mother is a very tough, resilient woman. And she's always shown me a great deal of love and affection and support for everything that I've tried to do. And I've tried to support her back as I've gotten older. But I've always been amazed by her resilience, amazed by how tough she is, and amazed by how kind she is and how kindly she views everyone in the world. And she's still going strong at 85 today, and I just feel really blessed that she continues to be in my life as a role model.
So you said that Graham went through depression in her 40s and 50s and like many other like diseases or physical illnesses. Could you describe your emotions like during this time, like how you felt?
Well, I was a child during a lot of this, so it's kind of, you know, I would feel badly about it. When a parent is ill, the child feels badly, but I really didn't understand it the way that I understand it now. So I just understand that she was going through some tough times. It's only in hindsight, as I became an adult, that I realized how challenging those times were for her physically and mentally, and how impressed I was that she actually didn't show me very much that she was struggling at all.
What career did you want to pursue as a kid?
You know, I suppose I had all of the traditional dreams that that a kid would have. At one point in time, I wanted to be an astronaut. At another point in time, I wanted to be a general in the Army. At another point in time, I wanted to be a sports star. I kind of went through one thing after another. But as I grew older and I went to college, I fell in love with writing, and I started writing for the college newspaper. And for the longest time, I thought I would be a writer. I would be a novelist or a critical essayist or someone who wrote books for a living. And I discovered a couple of things. One is I actually couldn't write a novel. Writing fiction is very different than critical writing. And number two is that there weren't that many jobs open for critical writers, and I certainly didn't know how to get one. I guess the other thing that I considered as I got toward the end of college was going into the Foreign Service, becoming a career diplomat. And I actually went so far my senior year to take the Foreign Service exam, and I passed it. I decided to not go through with the interviews in Virginia afterwards, but I did seriously think about the Foreign Service as well as I grew older.
How has your life been different from what you imagined as a kid?
My life's been really different what I imagined as a kid. I had no idea what a businessman was as a kid, nor did I particularly think I wanted to be one. Now I find a business career fascinating. I think as a kid, I certainly had no idea or intention of having four children. I came from a family of two. I realize now that I didn't even know what it meant to have a child. And so having a wife, four children, two dogs, we had a goldfish at one time. We had a lot of different things in this family, and growing up with this family is not something I could have possibly entertained and understood at all as a kid. I didn't think about it much. I didn't appreciate it much, but I certainly appreciate it now.
Do you have any regrets?
Regrets, yeah. What's the old Frank Sinatra line? Regrets. I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I don't have a huge number of major regrets in my life. I do have a couple, like any other human being. You know, I wish that there are certain people that came into my life at certain times that I wish that I had treated better. There are certain business deals that I wish I had not done that I wound up doing. There's a laundry list of things that that I wish I'd done things differently with. But I think that you ultimately can't live life looking at the rearview mirror, just like you can't drive a car looking at the rearview mirror. You have to kind of make peace with what's gone past. And if you've made mistakes, you need to apologize for them and feel badly for them. But then you need to go forward and accept the person you are today and hopefully become the person that you want to be.